I'm not a professional speaker, so bear with me. And they told me I had 20 minutes to tell you, and I'm thinking, how can I get a life story in 20 minutes? It took me 60 years to write it. So the first thing I want to talk about is I was born in Kokomo. I'm one of six kids, and I never knew who my father was. I didn't realize until I was probably in my 40s how important that was to never call someone dad. Never use the word father. I had a conversation one time in the locker room at the Y, the old Y, with Bill Fox. And I told Bill how much he meant to me because growing up, I ran around with Dave, his son, and I was always over at Fox's. And I didn't realize until I was in my 40s how important it was to me to have a family. And that was a complete family. And I look back at my other relationships with my friends, and they all had a complete family. And that's what I was looking for. That's what I wanted in my life. When I was in high school, graduating on a Friday, Monday morning I'd worked for the schools for the summer. So I'm working with my best friend. He's here today, I brought him. And I was in a freaky car accident. I was sitting on the hood of a car and he took off. You know, he wasn't driving 2 miles an hour. He took off and I slid off the car and busted my head. Had a concussion. 3 days I was out. 30 days in intensive care down in Indianapolis. I was messed up. I lost 30 pounds. Graduated 180, came home 150. I wish I weighed 150 today. That's a little bit. But that when that happened, for that instance, God talked to me for the first time. And he said, today's not your day. It's not time for you. I'm not ready for you yet. He had plans for me. So when I got out of the hospital and I came home, I told people that what God had told me, they laughed. I mean, we're high school kids. They laughed. Are you kidding me? God didn't, you know. They didn't believe me. So what I did, instead of going out and pushing further, I withdrew. Because I wasn't mature enough to understand this is the word of God that talked to me. I should have told people, but I didn't. I withdrew. I should have answered him when he called me. So by doing that, not answering, I didn't feel worthy. I felt like a failure. So a few years after high school, I started drinking. Drank a lot because I felt a failure. And then God spoke to me again. I was by myself drinking. And he said to me, this is the life you choose after I gave you life. As plain as day. I met a woman. Who became my wife. Of 33 years. I was diagnosed with cancer. Prostate cancer. Time it couldn't have been worse. My oldest daughter was graduating from high school, getting ready to go to college. I couldn't work. I didn't know how I was going to pay for her college. Out of the blue, in a conversation my wife had with someone, Kurt Daniels, my daughter wanted to be a nurse. Kurt said, "She really want to be a nurse?" "Yeah, she wants to be a nurse." He said, "ROTC. She needs to apply for ROTC." So she did. She got the scholarship, went to Purdue, graduated, was an officer in the Navy, got her master's, nurse practitioner, lives in Indianapolis, beautiful home, great job, great career. God, again, for me. He did that for me. God's plan for me. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Not to have you." I'm sorry. "Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me, come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I started to see the plan. Honoring God. So I tried to do all the right things. Be the man that my grandfather would want me to be. The husband my wife wanted me to be. You know, I thought this would be easy. And it is. And there's only one way I'm getting through this. My wife, 33 years, died January the 6th, cancer. What I went through was nothing compared to what she went through. But God had a plan. I don't think I'd have been more lost in my life. So, made a phone call, called one guy, Dick Sandberg. And Dick said, "Brother, whatever you need, whatever you need." I had no idea what I was getting myself into, what I needed to do to bury my wife. But Dick was there for me. And I felt the love, felt the love. Six months later, I'm driving home from my daughter's. I got three kids, but I'm at my daughter's, coming home. Get a phone call to Dick on a Sunday, I'll never forget it. It was like yesterday. He calls me, says, "Hey, brother, how you doing?" I said, "Good, man, good." He goes, "Hey, I got something I want to talk to you about." I said, "What's up?" "Well, no, if you," he said, "I'm putting together a team. Well, no, if you want to go to Ireland." I took one breath and I said, nah, I don't need to think about it. I'm in. He thought I was going to say the other. He said, "Are you sure you don't want to think about it? Take a couple days." I said, No, I don't want to do that." He goes, "Okay, all right, man, I'll give you a call." So that led to the Ireland trip. But I want to back up to how I got to that point. After my wife died, buried her on a Friday. Went to church on Sunday. Right after church, I went to Dick. I said, "Hey, Dick, I need to go to the great banquet. I got to go." He goes, "Okay, all right. I'll make it happen." The list was full. It was 2 weeks away. The list was full. "How you going to get me in?" Didn't know. You know, I said, "I need to go to the great banquet. I got to keep a promise," because I promised my wife had been to the great banquet. She told me for 5 years that you need to go. She never pushed it, but she'd say, "Hey, you'll love it. It's great. You need to have it. You need to have it." You know, and I'd like, "Hey, I'm fine. I'm okay. I know God. I don't need to go to the great banquet," blah, blah, blah. I run out of excuses, man. I mean, I was looking for anything I could find, you know. I'll lose work, I'll miss money, whatever. But I wasn't going to go. So I told Dick that. Dick made it happen. I'm sitting at a table first night. For you guys who've been to the banquet, you know what I'm talking about. I looked over to the guy left and I said, "Hey, tell me something." I said, "What's the worst thing you've ever gone through?" Because I had a lot of anger. I was angry. I just buried my wife and I was mad at the world. And the last place I wanted to be was the great banquet, because the only reason I went is because I made a promise. He said, "I can't tell you." "What? You can't tell me? I'm here for answers. I want an answer." He couldn't tell me. I thought, okay, right, great. So as the weekend went on, he, at the end of the banquet, he was a speaker. And he couldn't tell me because of his talk. I found out then, it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I'm not the only one. He lost his daughter, cancer. How stupid did I feel? Because I thought I was the only one in that whole room that was feeling, that had never lost him. Nobody had lost anybody. I'm the only one in the world that lost their wife. My anger was dying. It was going away. So back to the Ireland thing. So I go to the meetings and I start the meetings to go to Ireland. I met once a week. I think I was at my second meeting, and my old insurance agent was there. Still my insurance agent today. And I talked to this insurance agent as I was walking out the door, and I said, "How's it going?" "Oh, not too good." I go, "What's wrong?" She said, "Oh, I got to give a talk." I said, "Well, I'd be great. I'd like to hear that talk someday." She goes, "Well, here it is." She pulls it right out and hands it to me. I'm like, wow, you know, the good and the bad and the ugly in her life. That's a huge step. She goes to her car. I go to my car. I look over at her and I can see she's weeping. She's crying. God told me, don't let that woman go. So I walked over and I said, "Hey, are you okay?" She goes, "I don't know." I said, "You want to get something to eat?" It was lunchtime. It was a Saturday. We went to McAllister's, sat in there for 2 hours. She'd lost her husband, cancer, automatically. Had a connection. That was a year and a half ago. Still with her. She's right back there. What a blessing. She's a blessing. She's led me farther than I ever thought I could go. That Bible study last night, one-on-one. I would have never done that. Never. You know, behind every good man, there's a good woman. And that's a good woman right there. So I go to Ireland, and I'm sitting at the table, and I'm a table leader in Ireland, The Way. It's called The Way. So I'm sitting at the table, and there's a big guy. He's a retired police officer sitting to my left. Got to talking. He lost his wife. Suicide. He was a police officer with his gun. And he told me about it. And he talked to me about it. And I'm like, who am I to hear this story? But he wanted to talk. He wanted to share. Made a connection there. And again, I thought, I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one, man. He's pouring out to me. And then it dawned on me. God told me that I thought, me, my human body, thought I was there to help them guys. They were there to help me. I went all the way to Ireland for them to help me. I grew 10 more steps in my belief. I didn't think I could grow anymore, but I grew more. And that's amazing how you can grow. You think when you're at the top, but yet God shows you another thing, and he shows you another. I got to room with Rick Shuck and Mac. Where you at? And Mac. And man, we would sit in that room at night after our discussion day. Mac would pray, talk to me, tell me about his life. Rick, what can I say about that guy? He was fantastic. God put us together. God put us together. I'm thinking, how did I end up being in the same room with these two guys? Talk about anchored in Christ. Man. So, I'll close in this. What you think determines how you live, determines how you suffer, and determines how you die. So what's your plan? Is it God's plan? Or is it your plan? Because I've learned to let God, through me, his plan. Every day I put my foot, one foot in front of the other. I'm trying to get closer to God. Every day. And I fail. But I get up and try again. I know God's running to me. He wants me. He wants my soul. He wants my body. He wants all of me, not a part of me. You know, and I can't give enough to God. But I'm going to keep trying. So what's your plan? Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. You're good, buddy.
Thank you.
Brother, my name is Dennis. What's your name?
Paul Hendricks.
Dennis Sanders. I do street, man.
Man, you really, really touch